Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found a people acceptable in your sight, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
About a year and a half ago, my family and I moved into a new home. And we were ecstatic at having more space for the kids and the dogs and having a big, big yard where we could plant some trees. Now, when we had purchased the property, it only had two red oak trees on it. But since then, we've got olive trees, peach trees, an orange tree, a lime tree, a fig tree, a maple tree, and one other red oak because another one died. And several weeks ago, on one of the red oaks that was there when we bought the home, I went out to water it and I found all these acorns on the ground. So I picked them up and I cleaned them off and I held them in my hand and I took a picture. I had a hope, a planter's hope, that one of these acorns would become a red oak tree. Hashtag a planter's life for me. The symbol of oak trees is a great image for the Christian life. It is the picture of the kind of life that we are to have in Christ, mature and full of the Holy Spirit. Consider the size of oak trees. They can range from 70 feet in height to 9 feet in width. Their branches can extend to 135 feet in length. Just look outside our sanctuary and marvel at the oaks. Oaks bring flavor to the wine we drink, to the whiskey that we love, to brandy and other liqueurs. There are many varieties of oaks, as their leaves can be lobed, serrated, or flat on the edges. And yet, in our passage from Isaiah this morning, in Advent, we see that the Lord desires to make each of us an oak of righteousness, firmly established with deep, deep roots in Him. He wants to make each of us a great and mighty tree, a great and mighty oak, a pillar of strength and righteousness. But how can this be? How can it be? How can tiny acorns grow to such great heights? How can offshoots develop into such large trees? Because they are a planting of the Lord. A planting of the Lord. Not of man. Not of institutions. Not of the world. Not of formulas or equations or marketing. But a planting of the Lord. And we are planted for the Lord's own glory. Not for our own glory, but for His. For we are the branch of His planting, the very work of His hands, and He will be glorified in us. Therefore, this morning, let us learn of the strength of oaks. And it is my fervent prayer that the Lord will make each of us like one of these mighty, mighty trees. That He would receive the honor and glory due His most holy name. Because of what He has done in my life, in your life, because of what He has yet to do. Because each of us is a planting of the Lord. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Now, are we naturally born as oaks of righteousness? No, we are not. We have to be spiritually reborn. We are dead in our sins and must be given new and everlasting life. For as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So therefore, we must be reborn to a living hope that God sent Jesus Christ into the world to save us from sin, death, and the powers of hell, that He died on the cross, and that He rose bodily from the grave on the third day, and that He is coming again to make all things new. So the Spirit leads us to Jesus, and Jesus leads us to the Father. We must be reborn. And we must have new life to become a planting of the Lord, to become an oak of righteousness. It is a life that only comes from God. It is a righteousness that only comes from the saving work of Jesus Christ accomplished on the hardwood of the cross. And it is the Spirit-endowed Messiah who creates a new people by his Spirit-fueled preaching. Notice again the power of the divine speech, of the very Word of God. It is the very Word of God spoken at creation that calls everything into being, everything into existence. And God said, let there be this, and there was. It is the voice of God that creates Israel out of an old man and woman. All nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. What a promise. And here in Isaiah, it is the Spirit-packed preaching of the Messiah that creates a fresh and liberated people who will change the world. Who will change the world. We cannot change ourselves, for we are utterly incapable. We need outside help and assistance. And we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As it is Advent, let us recall again the words of John the Baptist concerning the Messiah. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-endowed Messiah then would immerse a newly liberated people with the Spirit. He would soak and drench us with life-giving waters. These are the living waters that Jesus talks about, the Holy Spirit indwelling in the life of the believer. And to be a planting of the Lord, we need these living waters. To be a mighty, mighty oak, we need to drink deeply from the Spirit. You know, because oak trees are so big, they consume a substantial amount of water per day. Some as many as up to 50 gallons. That's a whole lot of water. I don't even drink 8 glasses like I'm supposed to. But oak trees, they have big, big roots that go deep, deep down. Water is their life. It's their life. So it is with you and me. There is no life in us, in any of us, apart from the life giver. The one whose life was given for us, who was buried, and who was raised. The one who baptizes us, drenches us, saturates us with the Holy Spirit. We are rooted in him, we are planted by him, and we can only grow and mature in him to God's glory by the Spirit. So Isaiah prophesies of a time when the Messiah would preach. A time when he would preach, a time of jubilee and the Lord's favor. But jubilee and favor for whom? For the poor, for the brokenhearted, for the captives, the prisoners, and those who mourn. You see, the Messiah's preaching would usher forth a new era of blessing. As the church father Origen put it, the messianic era of salvation now begins in Jesus. And notice here the importance of the anointed one bringing restoration and freedom and reversing the effects of the curse. This is what the Lord does. He removes the filth, he binds, he mends, and he renovates. He does all of this for those who will be oaks of righteousness. Mighty trees, mighty, mighty trees planted and established by the work of his hand, and that he may be glorified. And he will make them strong. Consider the strength of oaks. Oak wood is a very strong and hard wood. It's used to make houses and flooring. It's used to make furniture like altars and musical instruments. It's used to make boats and even ships. The Lord desires to make us strong. We are weak, but he desires to make us strong. For oaks of righteousness shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. I hope you see how awesome this is. What the Spirit-endowed Messiah has called us into. Because we participate in the life of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, we participate with the Lord in his work. Of what? Of restoration and freedom. Remember, Jesus is coming back to make all things new. And the life of new creation already lives within you and me. Already. Although each of us long for that glorious day where we will be in the city of God, the New Jerusalem. But while we eagerly wait that day, our calling as the pilgrim people of God is to bring the good news to the world. You see, the world is poor. There are people who are brokenhearted. There are people who are in slavery, and they need the good news. They need oaks of righteousness to rebuild, to restore, to repair. That's you and me, my brothers and sisters. Our calling as a pilgrim people is to bring the good news to the world. You see, a planting of the Lord is to bring forth fruit. Each of us are called to go and make disciples. It is the job of all the people, not just the clergy or the bald priest. Now think about the fruit of oaks. Think about the fruit of oaks. An oak tree starts producing acorns at the age of 20 to 50 years. Some oaks can even bring forth 2,000 acorns per year. I'm sure a lot of squirrels will be certainly happy about that fact. But 2,000 acorns per year. But hear this. Only one in 10,000 acorns will fully develop into an oak tree. You see, there's a whole lot of acorns, but only so many oaks. But as an oak of righteousness, you and I are called to be not just fruitful, but abundantly fruitful. As our Lord commented, a tree is known by its fruit. Oak trees make acorns. Oaks of righteousness make disciples. Say it with me. Oaks of righteousness make disciples. And even here, we don't do this in our own strength. Indeed, we cannot, because we're not strong in of ourselves. We need the Lord's strength. We make disciples not just because we want to be faithful to the Lord, not just because we love the Lord, but also because we have been empowered by Him. Think about the amount of time and effort it takes to look after a young oak. One that you can buy at a local nursery or Lowe's if you're like me. The tree has to be planted in good soil. You have to dig up the ground. You have to remove rocks away so that the hole can be filled with good earth that will foster good root development. And the tree has to be exposed to a good amount of sunlight. It has to be frequently watered, as we've already heard. It has to be fertilized. It has to be pruned back as it's growing, so that it can grow stronger. And it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And it's no different when it comes to making disciples, my friends. It really isn't. If the Lord has called His oaks of righteousness, you and me, to build up, to raise up, and to restore, it just doesn't happen overnight with the snap of our fingers. It takes investment. It means that discipleship has to become a way of life. And though we participate in this work, how disciples become disciples is really a planting of the Lord. We don't do this for our own glory. We do this because the Spirit-endowed Messiah has set us free and has opened the door of everlasting life. What about the lifespan of oaks? You ever really pondered this? You stay up late at night, wonder about this. There are certain trees that can survive over 1,000 years. Some oaks planted during the reign of King John are still here 800 years later. They've endured the reigns of 35 other rulers. But most species of oaks live over 200 years. Have you ever seen an oak die? I have. She was my mother. A woman full of the Spirit, full of vitality and life. And one night, she had terrible, terrible pains and had to go to the emergency room. And through the next several days, tests would confirm that she had ovarian cancer. She would endure surgery and chemotherapy and radiation, all to no avail. All to no avail. The cancer spread to her spine. In January of the year she passed away, she was paralyzed. Surgeons operated on her so that she could regain her ability to walk. She never did again. She developed bed sores, and her pain escalated to where morphine had to be administered to appease her suffering every couple hours. She went to be with the Lord on Good Friday. I remember it clearly. I was on the back porch at her house trying to work on a paper for my doctorate that was due when my sister-in-law came outside to get me. She was close to passing. And the night before, my family had taken watches through the night, and my shift was from 4 a.m. to dawn. And I talked to her during that time, but as she was passing, my father, my brothers, and I gathered around her at her last moments, and one person was at each corner of the bed. And all I could say was, "I love you." All I could utter was, "I love you." I didn't quite see her last breath, as it had become so shallow, but she had entered into the joy of her Lord and Savior. And at her funeral, people gave eulogies about her. She had been a vital member of the women's ministry at her church, and one of the speakers, commenting on her ministry, said, "Please stand if you have been impacted and had your life changed by the ministry of Candy Seely." And I looked back, and I saw woman after woman after woman stand. Women who had their marriages built up because of her. Lives that had been raised up and restored because she was a planting of the Lord. A mighty, mighty oak. And that day, as I witnessed this, I gave God the glory as I do this very morning. Oak trees live a long time, but they don't live indefinitely. However, an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, lasts forever. Forever. Even though our mortal bodies expire, yet shall we live, for our lives have been swallowed up by life, by the Messiah. Jesus Christ has conquered death. He was raised on the third day. Death is not the final word for any of us. We will be raised on the last day. We will be given resurrection bodies like our Lord, and we will reign with him in a new creation, in a new heaven and new earth, in the very city of our God. What is the lifespan of an oak of righteousness? Eternity. World without end. This morning, it is my prayer for you to know that you are a planting of the Lord, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the very day of Christ Jesus. Until that day, as oaks of righteousness, we are called to build up, to raise up, and to restore. And we do this in the power of the Spirit, trusting that the Lord will supply and bestow the gifts to us that we need to participate in his kingdom work. Amen? And we do this knowing that this will take time, effort, and investment. It's a commitment to the long haul. We do this expecting fully the life of the world to come. And we do this knowing that it's about the Lord's glory and not our own. And it's my hope that each of us will see the work of his hands in our own lives. That each of us will see that we are a branch of his planting. And that together, as the body of Christ, as the people of the living God, the ancient ruins will be built up, the former devastations be raised up, and the ruined cities of many devastations be restored. May the year of the Lord's favor continue to spread through his Spirit-led and Spirit-filled people, that more and more may become oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, kindle us with the fire of your Spirit, that when Christ comes again, we may shine as lights before his face,
who is alive and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.